Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all were here last week?
Yes.
Did you have any opportunities to share Jesus with anybody? Just raise your hand. Cool. Did you find yourself feeling more like you're looking for an opportunity?
Yes.
Me too. Actually, I went to Myers and this little lady, she was in a wheelchair, one of those ones that have lots of motors, so she must have some life support things or something. And she's a greeter. And she was just so happy. And I thought, well, she's so happy, she probably already knows the Lord, but I just really felt drawn to her. So I said, hi. Hi! And I said, I want to know what makes you so happy. Jesus! I said, wow, me too. I said, can I pray for you for anything? No, but I'll give you a praise report. I'm thinking, wow. So she gave me her praise report. She was so happy that she lost her job at the theater during Corona shutdown because she got a better job at Myers as a greeter and she can pay off her debts. I mean, you know. So she gave me a shot in the arm. That's what we are to do. Go give people a shot in the arm.
Amen.
We don't have to preach to everybody, but just a little answer like, Jesus makes me happy. Yeah. And you never know what people are going to say. I remember, this has been some years ago, again at a grocery store, and the girl with the checkout was just so sweet and just kind and, you know, just the kind you'd want to sit and chat with. And I said, I bet you know Jesus. No. And I said, would you like to know anything about him? No. And I'm going, Lord, okay, what do I do here? And I said, you've got something coming that you are not expecting. He's going to show himself to you, and you're going to go, whoa, that's Jesus. She said, oh, okay. I don't know what happened. But, you know, she was so congenial. I thought, certainly she knows the Lord. So you see, we can't judge. We can't assume somebody doesn't need Jesus or somebody does. So anyway, 20 years ago, we all know what yesterday was, or 20 years, and you all probably know where you were when you heard about the Twin Towers. And it's like, you're kidding me. Really? My husband and I had just gotten... We had been in Denver that morning. We're flying home to Detroit and got home. And there was all kinds of, you could see something was going on at the airports about closing, you know, stopping flights. And we got home and we got called by our relatives that we had been visiting. Did you make it? Yeah, why? You don't know? And that's how we found out about what had happened. 3,000 people lost their lives. They weren't expecting to die. None of those people were expecting to, because of some evil that was perpetrated on this country. Our country is never going to be the same. It changed all the rules for airlines and all kinds of things. We will never be the same when evil gets thrown at us like that. Families changed, businesses, lives, New York, everything. 2020, another evil you and I were not planning on or prepared for. All of a sudden, Corona. You can't go to church anymore. Kids can't go to school anymore. You never know. We have to keep our hearts so ready. And, you know, you wake up every morning and you almost don't dare turn the news on to see what might have happened last night since you went to bed, because things are happening so quickly. New rules and guidelines and do this and don't do that, and you're going to have to do this, or, oh, you know. And what the Lord's just been putting on my heart is, are you ready? Are you? And what do you do? How do you process all that junk? How we process it, how our processor, our heart works, makes a big difference in our life. Do you just blow it off? You get mad, you just want to go smack somebody? I'm sure you felt like that. I'm probably not the only one. You say things, something inside goes, how dare they do that? Who do they think they are? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to tell you what blah, blah, blah is, because you got... You got your own blah, blah, blah. But the Lord's just been prompting me. Proverbs 4:23 says from the Amplified, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the issues of life. And it doesn't say, except in the year 2021, because you're going to be too busy worrying about what's happening in the government that you can't guard your heart. No, it's even in those times. It's especially now. Guard our heart. Guard our heart. God's got good things coming for us, and we want the good things. And he wants to do a little more heart work today. Aren't you glad you came? Okay. So let's give him permission again. Lord, here's our heart. Here's our church. Here we are. We love you. We wouldn't be here. And Lord, we don't want to miss anything you have for us. We don't want to hold on to anything in our heart that we're not supposed to. And you have a way for us to live through these days successfully. So Father, Holy Spirit, have your way in us and reveal what we need revealed to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So when all that negative stuff, you can hear it in your ears, it might be affecting your job. If it's not today, it might down the road. It, you know, things don't look good. I know that the White House has demanded that any business that has more than 100 employees, they're going to be vaccinated. I know that there's people fighting that because it's against our constitutional rights, but I don't know what's going to happen. So meanwhile, do we just start hating the people over there in the White House? No. You know, we really can't do that. God doesn't want us to live, even in these days, mad, angry, frustrated, anxious, worried. He doesn't want us to go into panic, be nervous, or be offended. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 8, he was talking about the end. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? I always write the answer in there, yes. But what I've come to realize listening to people, what they're going through right now, your faith gets tested. And if you're on shaky ground at all, or if you've got anything in your heart that shouldn't be there, now's the time to deal with it and get rid of it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Those are heavy orders. And we want to do those. And I said, Lord, what is it that keeps us, would hinder us, that we need to deal with? And the thing that he brought to my mind was unforgiveness. unforgiveness can be to anybody. Can be to your husband, your wife, your kids, your boss. Can be to the politicians making the rules. It can be to Korea, China, wherever this thing came from. We can have that in our heart and be just so angry. How in the world did that happen? What am I going to do with that? And we think thoughts that we might get convicted, but can we forgive them all? Forgiveness is I've been really looking into forgiveness, and it is totally amazing. There's a scripture in Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. I used to read that and go think, so I'm going to give him food and water, and he's going to be a hothead. His head's going to burn up. And I looked up in so many different commentaries, what in the world does that mean? This is what my Amplified Bible said. This is not to be understood as a revengeful act intended to embarrass the victim, but just the opposite. The picture is that of a high priest, and the reference is Leviticus 16:12, who on the Day of Atonement took his censer and filled it with the coals of the fire from the altar of burnt offering, and then put incense on the coals to create a pleasing, sweet-smelling aroma, and the smoke of the incense covered the mercy seat and was accepted by God for atonement. When we do good for those that are persecuting us, to our enemies, God goes, and you smell that? That's sweet. That's forgiveness. When we can forgive somebody we don't know their heart, we can look and say they got some bad fruit, but we've not lived their life. We don't know how they got to the place they got to. But when we can take what we see as the fruit and look at the person, and maybe it's not somebody you know, maybe it's just a news reporter you've seen or a politician you've read about, and we can look and we can pray for them and love them and forgive them. God's going, that smells good. That's like me. That's like Jesus. We must never forget when we fall into the possibility of judging somebody for what they're doing, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Yes. He wasn't looking down saying, I'll die for Doris because she's going to have a real, real part in this church, and she's just going to sparkle with love, and I see some goodness in her. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, yeah. And Holly, yeah. I can die for Holly because she can sing, play guitar. She'll be good in church. Amen, Holly. And certainly for all the pastors, because they're going to step up and be a pastor. No, while we were sinners, we must never forget that while we're looking at people who are still walking the way we used to walk. And in our heart, forgive them. Forgiveness is an amazing, amazing thing. It's so amazing. Jesus is on the cross. He's already been beaten, abused, spit on, nails, hands and feet, thorns, stripped naked. And he said, Father, forgive them. Just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, when any person doesn't live according to God's intended purpose that we can see way back in Genesis, they really don't know what they're doing. Very few know intentionally that they're doing evil. They don't know. Can we pray like that for these enemies? Can you pray like that for some unforgiveness you might be harboring in your heart toward somebody, a husband or a wife or kids, a boss? You know, we can let a lot of things go, but man, in our heart, we've not forgiven them. We've not let anybody off the hook. Maybe it's a church that hurt you. Maybe it's a pastor that hurt you, a teacher. You got a list. Maybe you don't know you have a list, but if you check your file cabinet, you might find you do. True forgiveness. If we can think about any situation or any person, and you've been having a good day and all of a sudden something rises up inside of you, bitterness, hatred, you can get offended just thinking about what they did or didn't do. You know, unforgiveness is the poison. I'm sure you've heard this before, that you drink hoping the other guy's going to die. But see, it hurts us. It does something horrible inside of us. We are not meant to live with any kind of unforgiveness toward anyone, even if they intentionally, on purpose, hurt us. You know, Jesus could say they don't know what they're doing. Some people do know what they're doing, and they do it anyway. Do we have to forgive them?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Now, it's not done by willpower, although you can grit your teeth and clench your fists and say, okay, I forgive John Doe for what he did. I forgive him. It's not automatic. If it doesn't come out of your heart, it doesn't really count. It's just a bunch of empty words. It doesn't depend on the person that hurt you being repentant. You know, this is where people really struggle and have a hard time. I have found over the years in ministering one-on-one, you know, somebody might be dead. They might be gone already, and they did horrible things to the person that's sitting in front of me. They would like to have an eye-to-eye, face-to-face. They'd like to have some face time with them and talk it out, but they can't. What do they do? Do they still have to forgive?
Yes,
because the unforgiveness hurts them. It hurts them. It doesn't come easy. Sometimes it's a battle that you battle it out on your knees with the Lord until it gets accomplished in you. It often takes more dying to self. I don't want to let go of that. They deserve me to be mad at them. They deserve me to hate them. And maybe they do. But Jesus says they don't. He said they don't. It doesn't mean forgetting. He gave us a good memory. You're going to remember, but you can get to the place where you can remember those things without the pain.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean they're no longer responsible. It's just, what one of the definitions of to forgive is to put aside, send it off, put it away. It doesn't mean, I give you a pardon. It means what you did to me, the pain it caused me. If you have to just picture it as the way I saw it one day was like that apron they put on you in the dentist office that it weighs I don't know how many pounds. You couldn't get out of the chair if you wanted to because they're going to take an x-ray, so it's heavy. You might have to battle with it. Get it off. But you have to do. I want to encourage you to be part of what's going on in today and to have your heart as totally open as possible to the Lord. If there's any of that inside of you, let it go. Let it go. I remember being at a conference. This is some years ago. It was for ministering one-on-one with people. And the way they did it was they ministered to us that were there the way they were teaching us to minister to other people. And we got to this issue on forgiveness. And they said, so you're going to ask the people, so ask them to just close your eyes. Go ahead, close your eyes. And scan your mind, your file cabinet. Is there anybody up there? Anything? Any person? Doesn't matter who it is. It can be your best friend or it can be a politician that made a rule. It doesn't matter. Anybody up there that did something against you that you have not really, truly released? If anything's coming to you, Lord wants you to deal with it today. It's really not that hard. But first you just have to acknowledge it. Yes, Lord, I see it. I see it. When I was in that class, you can open your eyes now and don't forget what he showed you. I thought, well, nobody came to my mind. I remember dealing with this and this and this and this and this. And I'd already walked with the Lord for quite a number of years. So I couldn't, nothing came to me. And they said, okay, now I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you who you need to forgive. And I knew there was nothing there, so I said, okay, Holy Spirit, show me who I need to forgive. And I thought, right off the bat, without a split second, he gave me a name of a theologian that lived in the 1500s that was responsible for the doctrine of sovereignty and predestination that I was raised up in, that messed with my mind and my walk with the Lord. And I said, you're kidding. He said, forgive him. Forgive him. I let John Calvin off the hook. I'm sure he was jumping up and down in heaven like, whoa. I was always going to get to heaven someday because I knew he loved the Lord. I read enough of his stuff and have a sit-down talk with him and saying, you want to know what you're teaching, how it messed me up and what it did? And I was going to have a talk with that boy. Well, now we don't have to talk like that. Because I was able. See, you don't know. But what happened? When I forgave him, I got more revelation on sovereignty and predestination than I had ever had. See, unforgiveness in any area blocks you, hinders the flow of that revelation. Revelation, if you could look at it like it comes from the Holy Spirit, it's a great big spout, and you got this chunk of unforgiveness. It can't get through. You got to choose to get rid of it. Just choose to get rid of it. Let's look at Jesus. I want you to go to Hebrews. You know, I've heard so many horrible things that people have gone through at the hands or mouths of other people and how destructive it is. And so many times I just want to sit and cry with them. And if the perpetrator came in, I'd probably want to kick him too. Because it's awful. It's awful what human beings can do to other human beings and what they can say and the damage that can be done. But Jesus, he's a man. Somehow he laid down everything that made him God and became like you and me. So when he's on the cross, he felt like a human on the cross. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he looked past the junk, past the pain. What was the joy that was set before him? You and me. Us doing the Father's will. That was the joy. He had such joy in that, that it says here that he endured, he had fortitude and was patient and was able to bear the cross, despising, thinking against it, the shame. He was naked in front of his mom, in front of the disciples, in front of the whole world, beaten and bruised. And he had spoken to these people and they knew he was the Messiah. He had to look like a total wipeout failure. Were you despised? You and I have not been despised to that degree. We have not. He despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God. Wow. Now, what I have learned about the finished work of Jesus, what he accomplished in his life, in his death, while he was in the grave, in his resurrection, if he accomplished victory over sin, over the devil, over sickness, disease, poverty, lack, whatever he accomplished a victory over, I can, because he did it for me. Amen. And sometimes we try to work things up and do it in our own willpower, and all I have to do is look at the cross and say, you did that. I believe in you. My faith is in what you did. That's all. It's so much easier for me than trying to work some of this up. I believe what you did, Jesus. You did it for me. Therefore, you were shamed and abused by somebody's mouth. You were physically abused, verbally abused, emotionally abused. Then I can honestly tell any person that has been like that, Jesus has the victory for you. He has the victory because he won the victory over that. He won it. And he won it for himself, and he won it for you and me. Wow. Is he not awesome? And he forgave all those people ahead of time. He forgave us before we were born. He paid the price, and we weren't even a twinkle in our daddy's eye yet. So when we look at anybody in our heart that we're holding something against, or anything that's going on in this country that makes us that mad and angry, we can forgive. Because he did. You see, if we forgive, when we step into that forgiveness, that's as much a gift and a power of the Holy Spirit as laying hands on somebody and having them rise from the dead, having them get healed, having deaf ears open. True forgiveness, will you let the power of God work through you, come right out of inside of you, and accomplish that forgiveness for you? That's what he wants to do. And set your heart free to be ready for all that he wants to pour out on us, that revelation, revival, what it is we need. So we have nothing blocking the flow from him to your heart. Consider him, verse 3, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. When you're feeling weary about what the bad guys are doing, consider him. He endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. See, he knows that these things discourage us. When you feel yourself getting discouraged, consider him. Think about him. Go to your happy place. I heard somebody testify the other day about having a bad report from the doctor, and immediately they said, I just went to my happy place, and said, no, that's not me. If you don't have a happy place, ask the Lord for one. I have a happy place. Mine is a boat out on a little lake. Actually, this morning during worship, I was there just chatting with Jesus, and the picture came up on the screen, I think, for the last song, and it was my lake. And I thought, wow, Lord, thank you. I don't normally get a visual out here. It's in here. But have that happy place that, man, immediately, I can go sit in that boat now. Used to take me hours to get myself calmed down enough to do it. But I can get there in a split second. Sometimes Jesus got a little motor on it, and we go out, and sometimes he's rowing, and sometimes we just sit there. Yeah, it's beautiful, Holly. Just sit there. Put your head on his shoulder. Tell him what you're feeling. And he's never going to say, really? I didn't know that. But what it does for you. When I'm sitting there with him this morning, I'm thinking about this message. I said, was it easy for you to forgive? He said, no, it took everything I had, everything I had. We can't be looking for the easy way out. And he wants to give us everything he's got. But it's a supernatural power. I want you to see that so clear inside of your heart. You can flow in the supernatural every time you forgive. Let's just do it while we watch TV, while we look at the news, and we see somebody that is making decisions that are not good for our country. Lord, I forgive them. I don't know if they know what they're doing or not, but I release them to you. I'm not going to take animosity and hatred in my heart because of what they're doing, even if it's going to hurt me, because you say you don't want me to, and because you forgave everybody for everything. You know, sometimes the hardest to forgive are other Christians who hurt Christians. That's hard, because we expect more from a believer. We don't expect them to operate in the flesh. But hello, we have all got flesh. Yeah. So sometimes you even have to forgive another believer for what they did to you or didn't do for you. Where you had an anticipation or expectation of getting something and you didn't. Let them off the hook. Because you're letting yourself off the hook when you let them off. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is another amazing thing Jesus did. I can't even imagine what he felt like. Verse 21. For he, God, made him Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. See, he didn't just take on himself your particular sins and my particular sins. He became whatever the ugliness of sin is. He became that dark and black and yuck. He became that. I'm sure that's why he's in the garden saying, if Father, if there's any way at all that we can accomplish this without me being sin, without you turning your back on me, I want to do it that way. But there wasn't. What a king. And he did that, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So much love. Oh my gosh. I cannot comprehend the magnitude of his love. And if he could forgive us, is there anyone we can't forgive? There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. If you're at a place where you might even, if you're totally honest, which you might as well be because you're dealing with God, he knows anyway, and you say, I still can't let go. I still can't forgive. Immerse yourself. Ask him to show you him in the garden. Ask him to show you what it was like, him on the cross. Ask him to show you what being despised and humiliated was like for you, just you personally. And then if you're standing right in front of him and he says, I forgive you. Whew. I hold nothing against you. Yep, even those things you did intentionally on purpose, knowing it was wrong and you did it anyway. I forgive. I forgive. If we could get that picture, there would be nothing and nobody that we couldn't forgive. The cost of our forgiveness was enormous, enormous, beyond anything we could comprehend. Anything. So don't take it lightly when you forgive somebody. Don't just, oh, well, yeah, sure, I'll just forgive. No, be serious about it. What I'm saying is I'm letting you off the hook. And maybe you're not ever going to get to talk to that person. And that's okay. That's a whole nother message about dealing when you have to deal with somebody and you have to go maybe meet with them or not. But this is just between you and God in your heart for what somebody did. Take it very seriously. You have his grace inside of you. You have that. It is his ability. He told that to Paul. He said, you've got my grace. You can accomplish what I have you to accomplish. My grace is more than enough for what I ask you to do. He would never ask us to do something and then say, whoop, you would overload the grace circuits there. Nope, can't do that one. Always, always, there's plenty of his ability available to all of us. He accomplished it on the cross for us. We are in him. I know I'm talking to believers here today. You're in him. You share in his victory. You can have the same victory over anything he had victory over. You can have victory in your life. And that's how he wants us to live. That is, you will know the truth. You'll know by experience the truth from the word of God. And that truth that you know, that's going to set you free. You will know that. So if you are thinking about, or the Lord brought to your mind a person, that you forgiving that person doesn't mean you're reconciled to them. Reconciliation takes two people. You can accomplish, like Jesus forgave us before we ever knew him. And when we got reconciled to him is when I said, Jesus, I acknowledge you're Lord. You died for me. I want you as Lord of my life. That is when. But he forgave everything long before. So it may take a while. You may have feelings, emotions, pride. Pride is that ugly thing that keeps us from admitting stuff. Flesh. Even if it's USDA choice, it's still flesh and it's ugly. But if you want to deal with it, the Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able all the time to help you. Oh, let's see. How do you know if you've really, truly accomplished real forgiveness? We, first of all, we do it out of obedience to the Lord. He said to do it. So we're going to go and do that. But because I said the right words, I said the right prayer, and I'm doing it because I want to please him, does that mean it's really been accomplished in my heart? These are just some signs that it is. You will stop rehearsing whatever the wound or the event was. You won't play it over and over. If you play it over and over, you've not forgiven. If you don't play it over and over, that's a good thing. You will stop sharing it with others. You know how we usually just want some sympathy sometimes. Sometimes we are sharing because we need to share something with somebody that's going to minister or pray for us. But sometimes we just want to blah, you know what so-and-so did. Ask yourself a question. Do I want the best for them? Yeah. The person that just made the mandate that any business with 100 or more employees, everybody's going to have to be vaccinated. Do I want the best for him? Can I pray out of my heart for the best? That's a real test. That's a real test. Can I pray blessings over them? When their name comes up in conversation, is my first thought evil? If I was walking down a hall and saw them coming, would I avoid them? I'd duck into the men's room. Wrong room. You know, if any of those things, if you couldn't answer positively on all those, you've not yet accomplished forgiveness, but don't be too hard on yourself. Take whatever time you need. The Holy Spirit's faithful, willing, will work with you, but don't quit because it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. It's for opening up your heart. Ask him for help. He's your helper. Jesus said, listen, guys, I'm going, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you forever, and he will be your helper. So whatever you need help with, you're not alone, especially in something like this. Another question you can ask yourself as you're working through, have I really accomplished forgiveness? Can I take myself out of who I am and who I am in the Word and in the Lord? And can I even begin to imagine who they are and where they got their point of view and why they're doing what they're doing? We don't always get to have an answer for that, but sometimes we do. And just being able to understand is often very helpful for you to release forgiveness from your heart and for you to be able to minister the love of God to them. So don't let the enemy let your heart get hard in the junk that's happening today or the junk that happened to you yesterday or any of your yesterdays. Deal with it and keep forgiveness flowing from you. Let's just... Does anybody here gonna deal with something? Somebody, something, some issue? Let's just all kind of close our eyes. Go to that quiet place you have, your happy place, your quiet place, and you talk to your Father, and you get started on this mission. See, we often hear things like this, and we can say, yeah, rah, 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 yeah, I got to do this. But if we don't take the steps right away, by the time you get to your car, go home and eat lunch, you might have forgotten. But if you deal with it now, Holy Spirit, don't let me forget. Thank you. Thank you. So, Father, for every single person here that has someone to forgive, Lord, thank you for ministering truth to them, for ministering your love to them in such a way that they will be moved with compassion toward that person that you want them to forgive and let off the hook. So their heart is free to receive more from you. And Father, for those that have got old hurts and old wounds from a long time ago, Lord, let them not forget. Let them not forget to deal with this. Yes, it's hard. And Lord, I know you'll work with them. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're such a comforter, a helper, a healer. Jesus, you said you came to heal the brokenhearted. I know there's people here with brokenness in their heart from past wounds. And maybe it's even wounds that are reoccurring even at this time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to accomplish in our hearts what you accomplished in yours. Thank you. We know we have the victory in you. Lord, thanks for putting your love in our heart for whoever it is we need it. I mean real, true, honest to goodness, love and compassion. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just speak your blessings over every person here today, that they will not let this rest until they've accomplished what you have asked them and what you have put on their heart to accomplish. And Lord, I know you're faithful. You're ever, ever, ever faithful. You can never be less than faithful. Thank you for walking them through. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.